My name is Scott, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. And for those of you who don't know me or you're tuning in, watching for the first time, I want to make it clear that I am not the pastor, so don't get your expectations up too high, but make sure that you come back for next Sunday when the pastor will be back. And I'm actually just a lowly, uneducated tree cutter, but I come to know the Lord here about 48 years ago. And I'm going to do things a little bit backwards here today. For those who may be searching and wondering how to get saved, how to get free from the bondage to sin or addiction that you maybe have struggled with like I did. And in Romans 10, starting at verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And verse 13 is one that I've appreciated so much. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, God has made it so simple, and I'm glad that he did. Nothing is too simple for me. And I appreciate, you know, it's one thing to be thinking about it, but it's another thing to speak it, to say with your mouth, to confess with your mouth, Jesus, I believe you are the Savior of the world. I believe you died for my sin and rose again from the dead. And when we will speak it, it's kind of like getting married. If you don't say the I do part, it don't mean a whole lot. You can think about it, but you need to speak those words. And God is not looking for an excuse to exclude you. He's wanting to welcome you into his family. Amen. Jesus went through a lot of trouble to save us dirty, low-down scoundrels. Isn't that right, RB? I pick on RB once in a while. But yeah, I'm glad that Jesus didn't get scared away because of our sin, but he laid it all down for us so that we can be saved. And you want to make God happy? Accept Jesus. Amen. You make the creator of the whole universe happy just by accepting what he provided through his son on the cross. I'll try to gather my thoughts here a little bit. You'll have to forgive me. It is a very serious thing, sharing the message. I know I have kind of an idea how much God loves each and every one of you, and I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to misrepresent, and I don't want to discourage anyone. I want to encourage us all in our faith, in our walk with the Lord. And he's given me kind of a hard thing to share today. And I hope you don't get the impression that I'm picking on anybody here, because I believe we're all in the same boat, maybe in a different seat. But we're all in the same boat. I enjoy reading. I don't got no education, but I do know how to read. And I picked up this book probably at the flea market or a rummage sale or a thrift store or something. And it's called Counterattack. And it's speaking of getting back ground that the enemy has taken from the church. And and from us and from me. I'm guilty. And I believe the whole church has been duped basically by the powers of darkness and how he's attacked the church. And in it's three areas that it brings out specifically. And if time permits, I might even throw a fourth in and I'll tell you everything I know. So we might get out of here early today because it might not take me very long. One of the comments that he made in here is that most Christians are educated above their level of obedience. To me, that makes sense. I know a lot more than what I actually walk in. The word is so full of truth, and how much do I really walk in? Even though I know it, do I walk in it? And Satan wants to keep believers powerless. And that might seem kind of bad, but it's true. I don't believe the devil wants us to walk in the authority and the power that we have been given through Jesus Christ. When we accept Christ, we're no longer on our own anymore. Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, I must go. They didn't want him to leave, but he said, I must go so that I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday, I've been walking with the Lord for 40-some years. You'd think I'd know a little more than I do, but I'm learning all the time, and it's kind of exciting, actually. We've been reading in 1 Samuel here lately in our men's Bible study in the morning. We've been reading about David, you know, and how he killed Goliath and how God anointed him king, you know, even as just a young kid. I sure hope they got that all on DVD. I'd love to see how that all played out. But and they made him like a general, a commanding officer. You're this little punk kid with leading these generals and soldiers and stuff. I'd love to see how that all played out. But it said that they honored him and they respected him. But anyhow, that all become possible because after David was anointed king, after Samuel anointed him king, the Spirit of God come upon him. The Holy Spirit come upon him. And when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon us too. And so, last Sunday morning, as I was driving to the jail, for those of you who want to know a little bit about me, I'm not a real preacher or a pastor, but I am a chaplain at the Becker County Jail, and I consider it a huge privilege to be able to do that, but it's about the only place where I can preach where everybody doesn't walk out on me, so it works out pretty good. And so there I am heading down the road, approaching, going to be by Friesen's place pretty soon, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to me, because I'm about service. You know, I like to serve the Lord. I want to be willing to serve the Lord in whatever capacity I can. And that's all good, because ain't going to much get done if we aren't willing to serve. You know, somebody's got to open the door here in the morning and put on the coffee and get things ready around here. And the worship team, you know, they're serving, and the pastor and everybody working together makes things happen. And so I'm trucking, you know, gonna serve the Lord in that capacity, and wondering how I could maybe serve more or do a better job. And I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you know, really what I want is to fill you. And he showed me kind of a vision of me as a house. And what basically I had been doing, and I think a lot of us are probably guilty of it, we welcome the Holy Spirit, but we want to put him in the closet because we don't want him to embarrass us and we don't want him to mess up our plans. You know, you can be in there, just be quiet, don't embarrass me, and I'll come and get you when I want you or need you. But the Holy Spirit wants to fill our whole house, our whole being. And that might be a little bit of a stretch or might be hard to imagine, but he wants us to be yielded in every area so he can fill us. And the more we are filled with the Spirit, the more we'll get done. We won't be hindered by our flesh so much, and good things will come out of us because we'll be filled with the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you? You know, like being filled with peace and joy and love and kindness. You guys got anything against those things? No, probably not. And that's what the world is looking for, is real Christians. It says that they'll know they are Christians by their love one for another. And so that's, yeah, that's priority number one, is that we put God first, that God is first. Last time I spoke, and you may recall, and if you didn't, that's maybe better yet, but I quoted out of Colossians 3 that says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So the Bible instructs us to have our focus on God. And this world, I don't know if you've noticed, this world has got a lot of distractions. I mean, it's full of distractions. And so it takes some effort on our part to concentrate, to focus on God. What I find, and you've probably heard me share this many times, but I'll share it again. What I find to be helpful is to spend more time with God. Spend more time, find quiet time with God in prayer and meditation and studying his word. And instead of entertaining ourselves so much with a bunch of garbage, put our focus on the things of God. And it'll help to keep our mind on him. And one verse that comes to me, it says, in the last days, men will be seekers of pleasure more than seekers of God. And that's something that I think each and every one of us got to do a little evaluation of our own. What is more important to me? Is it more important to entertain myself, or is it more important for me to have that relationship with God and spend time with him? And there's, you know, I think there's a balance to that too. We can enjoy things in life. A lot of us maybe have hobbies or whatever, maybe like to golf or fish or knit or hunt or ride motorcycle and fix motorcycles. But anyhow, there's a balance there. What is the most important thing in our life? Are we allowing something to take God's rightful place in our life? And so that's an area that I believe God really wants us as a church and as believers to focus on. Get our priorities straight. Who's the God of our life? Is it everything but God, or is it God? And that might be a little bit of a challenge or a little homework for us, but I think every believer should be exhorted and challenged onto pressing in and to have a deeper, closer walk with God, because that's where life is anyway. The devil tries to think, well, in order to enjoy life, you got to sin, you got to use drugs, you got to drink, you got to party, you got to carouse or whatever, but that only leads to death. And we're getting close to God. The closer we get to God, the more abundant life we can experience. Okay, then he goes on. Okay, the next point. Okay, point number one is our priorities, putting God first. It says Deuteronomy, where God says, I am a jealous God. You know, put God first. And then our next priority is, or the next point is morality. Now, I don't want no show of hands, but I imagine most everyone here has fault in that category to some degree. And that's a big thing. That's a big thing with God. The world wants the church to knuckle down to their standard, but God wants us to rise up to his standard. And especially young people, you know, that are getting close to marrying age or looking for a mate or whatever, I encourage you, do it God's way. You know, there's so many marriages that end up in divorce because they did it the world's way. And God wants your marriage to be blessed. And if we do it God's way, it will be. And we can't go wrong honoring God, honoring his word, and living the way he intended us to live. Does that make sense? Oh, thank you. I'm glad we're all on the same page. We'll probably look into some scripture on that. As a matter of fact, we'll do that right now. We'll go on just a little bit further in Colossians chapter 3. If you aren't very familiar with the Bible, I encourage you to read Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians. They're short books in the Bible, but they're loaded with instruction. You know, Colossians to me, Colossians 3 kind of sums up the whole Christian life in one chapter. And I've read it many times, and it seems like every time I read it, I get more understanding. And the Word of God is powerful, saints. And if you aren't spending time in the Word, you know, you're going to be weak and anemic. And the devil can knock your butt over pretty easy. But if you're spending time in the Word, you'll get stronger in your faith and in your walk. There was an old saying, I remember my father-in-law having it on his auction bill one time, and I think it was, reading the Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from reading the Word. And it's so true. I got to witness a fella who's new in the faith, struggling, coming out of addiction, and not really being very familiar with the Bible. But he shared with me that when the temptation came, he started reading the Word. And just spending time in God's Word gives us the ammunition, gives us the power to overcome the power of sin. If you're not familiar, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days out in the wilderness, when the devil come to him, what did he do? He quoted the Word. He quoted Scripture. Same Bible we got. Yeah, and the enemy left. And we actually got more ammunition, because we can use the name of Jesus, because there's power in that name. So I encourage you again. You probably get tired of listening to me, kind of like a broken record, but we can't go wrong spending time in God's Word. So, okay, I'm going to read a little bit further in Colossians here, where it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. And like that quote that fella in this book, if you can get your hands on this book here, I'd encourage you to get it. Most Christians are educated above their level of obedience, to know the word and to walk in it. Jesus said, how does that go? That the wise man built his house upon the rock. That the guy who hears Jesus' sayings and does them, it's one thing to hear it. You can hear me today and say, that goofy, uneducated tree trimmer, what a waste of time. But if you will hear God's word and act on it, you'll be blessed for it. You'll be like the man who built his house on the rock, and when the storms came, it didn't budge. It stood. And God wants us to stand. He's given us everything we need so we can stand in those difficult days, because you know what? They're coming. I wish that I could say they aren't. You know, another thing about David that I learned here, I've read that story about David and Goliath many, many times, but something that I believe was revealed to me or awakened to me is that I need to be like David when he went up against that giant, and you know what? He ran to him. He didn't run away from him. He didn't try to fight a rock or something to hide behind. He ran to him, and he overcame his enemy. And we can overcome our enemy too. And our enemy, my enemy, is within me, is the sin that so easily besets me is within me. When you read in the epistles and whatnot, these men, all of them basically laid down their life for the gospel. They were killed for it. But they prayed for themselves that they would be able to endure and that they would have love and forgiveness. And it was their own enemy within themselves that they needed to overcome. James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. And we would like to pray and say, God, smite my boss or whatever, the person that's causing us our aggravation. But Jesus wants to work these things out in us. And that's the very thing that I need to go for. Instead of running from it or avoiding it, conquer it in Jesus' name. Do not let that sin control me any longer, but defeat it in the name of Jesus, because he's given us the power now. And we can do it. We've been called to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus and to be overcomers. Anyhow, that's what God's speaking to me, that to overcome the very things within me that he's dealing with. So, and sexual sin is a big one, and it has affected our society to the point this very thing that is sacred to God, God created it to be sacred. The world and the enemy has tried to drag it down so it is no more than a dirty joke. And but it's the very example of Christ and the church. You know, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. And Jesus gave everything he had for that bride. And so precious to him. And we are the bride of Christ. We are the church. So, Okay, well, I'll try to go a little further. It says that in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So the Bible instructs us to put off that old man, quit being angry, don't be full of wrath and malice, quit lying. And these very things that our flesh may have a tendency of indulging in, God's saying no. Don't walk in that. Don't do that anymore. And what a shame for us as believers to spend so much of our time walking in these things, walking in anger. I know anger is, that really hit home for me, because that's something that I have struggled with, and you know what? I still do every day. There's opportunities for me to kill that giant in my life every single day. And but he's actually giving me victory. I see improvement, and so that's a miracle. And in marriages, I know you good people here probably never get angry with your spouse or whatever, but you know, it's a shame. We can spend most of our married lives being angry with one another. That's not a very good picture of Christ in the church. I hope Jesus isn't angry at me all the time. I give him reason to, but I can't picture him being that way. I picture Jesus as being patient and loving and forgiving and kind, and that's the way we should be towards our spouses. Husbands should be towards their wives. And I'm afraid what can happen is we'd rather war than love. And that's not God. Yeah. So we probably got, those of us who have spouses, we probably got our work cut out for us right at home. We can practice it every day, you know, right at home. And God will honor that. And I'd much rather have a happy marriage than an unhappy marriage. I remember years ago watching a movie, and you've probably seen it too. Sidney Poitier was one of the actors, and you know, who's a Negro. And he was, they were escaped prisoners. I got nothing against Negroes. I love them. They just got a little better tan than I do. What's that? Maybe that was what. Well, could be. Yeah, they were chained. They were handcuffed together, and they were trying to escape together, and they hated each other. They were fighting each other the whole way, trying to figure out, how can I get these handcuffs off of me? And but anyhow, I think the Lord gave me a picture. You know, that's kind of like marriage. You're handcuffed to that person. Now, are you gonna wanna fight the whole time, pulling two different directions, or are you gonna wanna love one another, make the best of it? So, so that's an area that I believe God wants us to overcome. It talks about excuse me for just a second here. I'm gonna try to find my other note. Yep, I think I found it. It says, okay. You'll have to bear with me for just a minute. I didn't get all my notes put together. I already confessed it to the pastor. It just was not coming together for me. And But it talks about be angry, but sin not. And don't give place to the devil. You know, you can be angry, and I believe God wired us with that emotion so that we will rise to the occasion and deal with some things that need to be dealt with. But don't freak out about it. Don't lose your cool and go berserk and do things that you wish you never would have said or done for the rest of your life. And don't hang on to that anger. You know, you can be angry for years. You can be angry for days. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And that's good preaching. That's good teaching. That's the word of God. And, you know, God help us to honor that. Because when we do hold on to that anger, we're giving place to the devil. And I have seen, and you have too, where people have hung on to anger and bitterness and unforgiveness for decades, and how that hurts them, how it hurts their family, whatever. Be quick. Let us be quick to forgive. I'm preaching to myself probably more so than anybody here. Like David, you know, David took on his giants. He took on his enemy. He smote him. And we can do the same. Those enemies of our soul that God's wanting us to deal with, that we maybe been neglecting or trying to ignore or be in denial. Any of you ever been in denial where you know, I don't really have a problem, you know, where we do. But to go ahead and hit our giants head on, because we have the same Holy Spirit that allows us to deal with them. And one thing I noticed about David, I'm going to probably wind this up here pretty quick, didn't bother in my notes much, but one thing about David was he messed up major. You guys think you have made some bad mistakes? It ain't nothing compared to David. You just read about his life. He did some very, very terrible things. And so did Saul. Saul did some bad things too. As a matter of fact, I think David did worse things than Saul did when it comes right down to it, but my opinion isn't worth much. But anyhow, the difference between the two, David repented. He had sincere, deep repentance, and God forgave him. Where Saul, on the other hand, kind of halfway repented. He kind of wanted to look good in front of the elders and in front of the people. He wasn't really sincere about his repentance. And if we are going to get anywhere with God and continue to grow in our walk with Him, if there's sin in our life, we need to repent of it sincerely. Saul was double-minded. He, like in his situation with David, his own son-in-law, he was after him. He wanted to kill him, and he would have. But a couple different times, David basically spared his life, is what he did. And Saul repented kind of half-heartedly, because it wasn't much afterwards. He was right back to it, trying to track him down, trying to kill him again. And we as believers got to be careful that we aren't half-hearted, that we aren't double-minded. If we want to continue in our walk with God, if we want to get free from the sin that has held us down, we need to be sincere, not half-hearted. You know, an example of being half-hearted is, God deliver me from drinking. I'm tired of drinking. All the time, you know, you got a quart of whiskey in the shed. You know, don't have a plan B where you want to go back. You're going to go back to it anyhow. You know, let's have clean, pure, sincere repentance so we can continue to go on with God. And that's a challenge. There's more. I suppose I could go on for longer yet, but I think that gives us enough to think on for today. And, you know, God help us. You know, well, maybe I'll go on a little bit longer. But I got another habit of, I like reading about the martyrs and about Christians in countries today. There's over 100 different countries in the world that the Christians are being persecuted. And some of them, they aren't supposed to own a Bible. Or if they do have a Bible, it's supposed to be registered with the government. And some, our Bibles are so scarce and so expensive, it might cost you a year's wages. They can't even afford a Bible if they could find one. And one country, if, you know, like I'm sharing the gospel with you here, in one country, you could get killed right on the spot if there was somebody in the audience that didn't appreciate Christianity. They could kill me, and there would be no questions asked. And there's many, many countries where the pastors are being killed, their houses are burned, their churches are burned, and it's the real deal. We don't have that problem here. At least I don't. I may be get a little rejection once in a while. I'll share, you know, my testimony or witness to somebody, and they'll look at me like I'm some kind of a religious fanatic or something, you know. But that's nothing, you know. I don't have to worry about them killing me or whatever. But the thing that we as Christians, I believe, in this country have to look out for is becoming lukewarm. We got it so good. We got everything we need. And we can become lukewarm. And that's something that we need to be careful of, that we keep pressing in and honoring God and not cool, you know, because you know what the Bible says about the lukewarm church? He said, I'm going to spit you right out of my mouth. And we don't want to be guilty of that. We don't want to be guilty of being double-minded or half-hearted in our commitment to the Lord. Well, I think I'm going to close with that at this time. I thank you all for bearing with me today. There's a whole lot more that could be said here, but I think I'm just going to close us with the prayer and we can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together in this house and worship you and read your word. And God, we ask you to forgive us. We probably have fallen in every one of these areas of having our priorities mixed up or being immoral. We're walking and living in anger when we should be walking and living in love and forgiveness. God, I just pray that you'd help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, not have them locked up in the closet just to come to spend a little time with them when we feel like it, but that we let your Holy Spirit rule and reign in us, for we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for making that all possible through your son, Jesus. And if anybody here needs prayer for anything, if you want somebody to pray with you to receive Christ, or if you got a issue in your life that you're struggling with, please come forward. We even got the pastor here today, so we have others, so. God bless you all, and thank you for bearing with me.